Welcome to Light in Your Soul podcast, where we discuss spirituality, mindset, business strategies, and financial literacy
for everyday living.
Every Thursday, the goal of this podcast is to help women raise spiritual awareness, manifest abundance, and activate their gifts to profits. Here's your host, Sonia Jennings.
Hello, beautiful souls. Today, we're going to be talking about, we're going to continue our series on how to kick self-doubt and start believing in yourself. And so the last episode, we introduced the dangers of self-doubt and how it can affect your life and really what exactly is self-doubt. Today, I want us to dive into how to identify where our self-doubt lies. I remember when I used to doubt myself, I was always so hard on myself. And it came to a point when I really started working on myself, I really started working on my spirituality, that I knew that there were a lot of times I would doubt myself. To the point, I believe I talked about it last week, where I did not even want to show people my toes because I doubted that I had beautiful toes until a cousin of mine actually said, "Hey, Sonia, I want to show you something." And one day she showed me someone, I believe the lady was like a size 11 shoes, and nothing's wrong with that. I'm just saying about what how I used to think back in my previous life. And she said, "Do you have a problem with wearing your toes out in sandals now?" And then I had to start thinking, well, if this lady has a size 11, and here I was back then, I was a size 8.5. Today I wear a size 9 shoes. And I was like, well, if she can have her toes and she's proud of it and she's going to get her pedicures, like what's wrong with me? So it was inside. So I want us to talk about knowing how we developed self-doubt and how sometimes that can hinder us from moving forward in different areas of our lives. We can build self-esteem comes from that. If we doubt ourselves, self-esteem by getting to the bottom of how it happened. So we can start building that self-esteem up to say, hey, this is where this this lie came in. And this is where I was limiting myself. And so a lot of people or a lot of us did have self-esteem at some point, but somewhere down the line growing up, we lost that. And so never had it. And some people never had it in the first place. They never had it. Okay. So no matter how you and I determine what causes our self-doubt, we will be able to overcome it. It doesn't matter if it's something that developed over time or something we just learned in our childhood, right? We can work towards building our belief system up in ourselves so that we can overcome self-doubt no matter what. So let's talk about the limiting beliefs when we were growing up as children. So unfortunately, many people learn to put off their dreams and limit their ideas due to well-being of whether parents or even sometimes it may have been something that happened. It may have been abuse from a parent or abuse from an adult in our lives. We get stuck in our own self-doubting our lives, and that we cannot ever push past or envision anything different from what we grew up in. So for instance, if you grew up, with less than, in a low income community or like us, at first when I was growing up, I just knew that what my cousins and them had, that I didn't have it, and that I would see little girls with dolls and I couldn't have dolls unless my godmother bought me a doll. And I didn't understand how we ate like cream of wheat, kind of like oatmeal, and other
people had cornflakes, and I just couldn't understand that. So I figured that they always had more than us and that we were just poor. I didn't know the word poor back then when I was growing up, but my mother would always say that, yes, I was poor, but my kids always had food to eat. And I'm thinking, well, we weren't really that poor because I never missed a meal. We normally had 3 or 2 meals a day. I remember eating breakfast. I remember in school, growing up in an all-girls Catholic school, that we would have something called light lunch, where we would just eat light. We would go home and eat something very light. But then we came home and we had a big dinner. I remember on Sundays, well, we had the different meats. We had baked chicken and stewed beef and sometimes fish. And so I didn't know what poor was. I just knew that my cousins or our neighbors or different friends may have had something that I wanted that I couldn't have, that my mother couldn't afford at that time. But of course, growing up, I hear my mother say, even today, sometimes she will say, she'll tell us stories and she was like, yeah, well, I was very poor, but my kids always had. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, when you kind of think about it, we were poor in a sense in people's eyes, but really and truly, we weren't poor because I had clothes. I always had shoes. I always had food to eat. So again, that's the limiting beliefs. If you tell a child growing up that you're poor, but maybe if we can teach our children to appreciate what we have, and if we say, well, I cannot purchase this right now, you know, maybe in the future, but right now this is what we can eat. So all we can eat right now is cream of wheat. But it doesn't mean in 2 months, in a year, in 2 years, that we can't have what you desire. And so again, it's, and I wish I knew what I knew now raising my children back in the early 90s. I wish I knew what I knew now because I would have maybe changed some of the things that I said to them or the way I had them thinking. Although I did tell them that, I told my son he was handsome. I told my daughter she was beautiful. Those things, and they always had, and I always try to give them things that I wanted as a little girl that I didn't have. I always tried to give it to them. For instance, dolls. I love dolls. And I remember this girl, they were tourists, and my sister used to braid the tourists. When someone comes, the tourists come to the hotels, my sister would braid their hair. And for money, that was a trade she had. And then I remember she would take me with her. And I remember this so vividly, that this white little girl had, or Caucasian, had these dolls. It was a lot of dolls. And they were there on vacation for like 2 weeks or so. And I wanted a doll because I didn't have dolls. And I love dolls. I love to comb the doll's hair. And I'm not sure if at that time my godmother used to buy me dolls. I remember my godmother buying me 2 dolls in my life during the holiday season. And I remember her bringing those dolls to me. But I was on the beach and I'm playing with this girl. And she had a lot of dolls, you guys. And I'm thinking to myself, all I want is just one doll. And I remember stealing one doll from her. I remember, but I had to bring it back. My sister had me take that doll back. And we brought the doll back to her because I wanted one. She had about 20 dolls. And so I was thinking, why can't I have one doll? And so when I had my daughter, one of the things I did, I showered her with dolls. We had this red bin full of dolls. And today I have 2 gray boxes in my storage with tons of dolls for my daughter. They're collectible dolls. And one day, hopefully, you know, she'll have a little girl and she'll be able to pass those dolls on to her. I'll do whatever she desires to do with it. And then we also had another one. I think we gave that away. But I just love dolls. So that was the, like I said, if I knew what I know now, I would have thought differently. So it's not unusual, the fact that parents want to keep their kids from dreaming. They're just trying to be realistic, though, sometimes. Because, again, yeah, they want to be realistic. I do believe that parents, they want their kids to have the very best. When their child tells them about their big dream to travel the world and become a writer, they react in fear and make statements that maybe, I don't know, that may not be statistically true, but that really limits the child. I remember another example. My daughter wanted to go to Brazil to study abroad. And immediately, the minute she said that, I know there was a fear that came inside of me. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, you can't go. And I remember having a conversation with her. I believe it was in college. Was it? No, it was after college. And she was talking about traveling the world. And I said, yes, you need to travel. You need to. And she reminded me, but I remember when I wanted to go study abroad to Brazil, you were like, no. And that was a good reminder. So I do want to encourage parents, if you're listening to this podcast, don't put limits on your kids because of your belief. Go beyond that. Go beyond your thinking and allow them to, yes, you teach them to be safe and you teach them responsibilities, but allow them to go and explore. Let them dream big. It's okay to do that. It really is okay. It really is okay to do that. For example, they might, a parent might discourage their child from becoming a writer by telling them no one makes money writing. Or they might discourage their child from becoming anything that is above what they wanted to be. Due to the fear of maybe the cost, it may cost a lot. Or maybe the fear that their child really can't do it, even if they try, but they're probably, of course, you wouldn't say that. But this is only due to our own lack of success and understanding of life. And so sometimes because of our limiting beliefs, we limit our children. We limit people around us. We might say things like that will never work. Well, who says it cannot work? I believe all things are possible. And when we have limiting beliefs, and if we pass those down to our children, then that really rubs off on them. So I urge you to, if you are having limiting beliefs, that those are lies, and to make a change today, especially if you have young ones. A lot of people, it takes a long time. When we grow up with limiting beliefs, it takes a long time for us to get over that. And some people never get past that. And that's very unfortunate. Some people never get past that. But again, all things are possible, right? All things are possible. Another thing that's a lie when it comes to identifying where your self-doubt lies is past experiences. From bad relationships, it may be a relationship with a parent. It may be friendship. It may be love. It may be a spouse. It may be divorce. It's just so many different things. If you used to have a good self-image and you didn't suffer from much self-doubt, but then suddenly or over time started to develop self-doubt, it's possible, it's very possible that you allowed your past experiences or those bad relationships to get into your head. It got in there and you probably think that you're a failure, and you're not. And you created this self-doubting experience. I just had this happen, a friend of mine, and it's because, you guys, I am learning. I'm not there yet. I believe that we're constantly evolving and we're constantly learning. So my friend texts me and she said, oh my gosh, I've been so busy. I have an opportunity that came. She's a recruiter. And she said, I have an opportunity that came to me. And she said, I'm getting nervous. And so I asked her like three questions. I ask a lot of questions now. And I said, well, you know, what's the experience? Is it for someone that you're just placing, or, what type of work is it? Or, you know, is the company hiring you full time? Like what's the deal? And she said, no, it's just a placement, because she's a recruiter and she's a darn good recruiter. And, she said, but, and the minute I saw the but, I said, oh, here we go. She said, there's tons of other recruiters working on the same deal. And all I said to her was, get rid of that self-doubt. You got this. because she absolutely does. She's a recruiter. We became friends years ago because I remember I was at a place, and I believe it was a divine intervention. I believe God really spoke to her to find me, and the universe attracted us. And she was a very important, intricate part of my life for my career. And I appreciate her so much for that. So there it is that she's doubting because she knows there's other recruiters out there that's trying to recruit for this position. But by golly, if she knows it's her and she's going to place that person, all she has to do is believe in herself, have that self-confidence, don't doubt that that position is hers, and she'll be able to attract that individual for that position that she's trying to put, because that's money that's coming to her when this thing happens. So again, we really need to take a deep dive into ourselves and see where these limiting beliefs. So look at relationships. Look at your relationship with yourself. These relationships sometimes are very toxic relationships. And unfortunately, a toxic relationship can involve any type of relationship. It can be your relatives. It can be non-relatives. Like I said earlier, it could have been a spouse. It could be a friend, etc. And if you've been in a relationship where a person criticizes and cuts you down, cuts down your ideas, is always negative, and tells you that this is impossible, or tells you about all that can go wrong, or is even abusive to you about your ideas, you may have learned your self-doubt from past relationships. But I want to tell you, if this is happening to you, you need to run, you need to cut ties, you need to get away from that individual, because that is bad for you. Also, let's talk about bad work environments and experiences. My gosh, I've had some bad experiences when it comes to work, but I've had some great experiences. But because, or until I found out who I was and what I know, the knowledge I had, that's the time I started demanding how much money I was going to earn. And to take that a little bit further, even when I was earning a good amount of money, six figures, I was still having some self-doubt because I didn't want to push it further. Until when I hired that coach that I talked about in my first episode, I believe, or second episode, when I had a proposal come on my desk for a consulting gig, and I told her about it, and she was like, no. And I just had a brief discovery call with her. We hadn't even started like the one-on-one deep dive coaching. And she said, no, ma'am, I want you to go back and I want you to ask for more. And I was thinking, what? Like, almost like, you guys, I was kind of like satisfied with what they were giving me. I really was. And she was like, no, go back and ask for more. And she started going through the scenarios because I was explaining to her what happened, how they found me, and just the relationship with the whole thing. And she was like, no, ma'am, if they're going to do that, you need to go back and ask for more. And don't come back to me until you get more. And I was thinking, my goodness, how am I going to get more? And see, the minute you question, you also have to know how to talk to yourself. The minute you question that, well, can I tell you guys that I declined the opportunity, I declined it, and I ended up, they ended up telling me why. And I told them, I said, I know my worth, and so I'm not willing to do it for that. And you guys, can I tell you that I was able to bump them up almost $20,000 more, just because I went back and I looked at the scenario. I listened to what my coach said, and I started just building myself up and said, yes, of course, I'm worth way more than that. And you know what? If they're not going to give it to me, I'm going to pass and I'm going to go get another one, because it's out there, because I know who I am, because I have the knowledge, because I've done this for maybe 2008. I've done this for over 10 years. I think it's 12, I don't know, but I've done it for over 10 years, this one particular type of consulting. And yes, I had to speak to myself, but I knew before I was passed down when it came to a work environment, a work experiences. And it may have been for other reasons, but I've had a great career. It's just that at this point in my life that I have to ask for what I deserve. Yes, I deserve it. If I say that my father owns this universe, is the universe, everything in the universe belongs to him, money is an unlimited resource, so then why the heck can't I have what I want? Yes, I deserve it. I'm a queen. I'm a child of the Most High. And so, yes, I deserve it. So you guys, also self-doubt, I want you to know, you have to start speaking to yourself. You have to talk to yourself and you have to know, first of all, where it came from, what it is. And then, and only then, how it's affecting your life. And then, and only then, you will be able to start speaking that life over yourself. So today, I want to stop here. In the next episode, we will go over like lack of life experiences, because I've had that. We're going to talk about zip codes, where we were from, where we were raised. We're going to talk about anxiety. We're going to talk about patterns that you can start identifying so you can get better. We're going on this journey, and I want you to bear with me. But again, I want you to take your journal out. Like I told you in the last episode, take your journal out and I want you to start writing. Okay. I want you to start writing the different areas of where, what time in your life, your past experiences. We talked about childhood. We talked about bad relationships, past experiences. We talked about bad environments or work environments, work experiences. So those three, I don't want to overload you. I want you to take your journal out and I want you to start thinking and jotting down where, identify where this self-doubt lies. Where did they come from? And then we will see you guys next week in the next episode. I want to thank you so much. Here, sending you love and light.
Thanks for joining us this week on Light in Your Soul podcast. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sonia G. Jennings and at SoniaJennings.com for more information on spiritual, mental, financial, and physical life. As always, subscribe to the show to catch every new episode and leave us a review so we can continue to bring you fresh content. See you next week.